Bible Belt. Is that a region that still exists in the U.S., or is it from a past era in history? Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. Now today we want to invite you to listen in on a wonderful telephone conversation we had with Robert J. Morgan. He has so much to share. Pastor Morgan is an awarded author and teaching pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, where he's served for 40 years.
You were born in Tennessee, you live in Tennessee, and you minister in Tennessee. So what is the culture like there? Is it country music and southern hospitality, or is it more of the salt-of-the-earth Midwest feel?
Well, I'm a lifelong Tennessean, except for the years when I was in college, and I live now in Nashville. Tennessee, now not everybody will agree with this, but I think Tennessee becomes more beautiful as you go eastward and less beautiful as you go westward. It's a very long state. And Nashville, where I live now, is right in the middle of the state, and there are rolling hills, and there's a lot of country music and a lot of football fever. Mm-hmm. But I was born and grew up in East Tennessee, which is the Appalachian Mountains and the Smokies, and actually still have my family home up there. My wife, Katrina, has... Oh, it is beautiful. It's in a little town called Roan Mountain, R-O-A-N, Roan Mountain, because that's the name of this towering mountain over the village. That's where I grew up, Elizabethton, Tennessee, and the outlying town of Roan Mountain. Beautiful. And that's where I'd rather be on any given occasion. And my wife has multiple sclerosis, and it's more difficult now for us to get up to our mountain home. So we're sort of stranded in Nashville most of the time. But it's up in those East Tennessee, Western North Carolina mountains. I tell people that I grew up where God made the sunshine and we made the moonshine.
That's really nice. Is Tennessee part of the Bible Belt?
Yes, I think the Bible Belt partially came about because of the revivals that took place in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. I've got a book coming out next year called 100 Bible Verses That Made America. And it's like a biblical tour of American history. It tells the impact the Bible has had on America. Mm. And many people don't know that during the Civil War, both in the Northern and in the Southern armies, there were tremendous revivals. In between the battles and in between the fightings, the preachers would come in, and many, many people came to Christ, hundreds of thousands during that time. Mm. And after the war, those new Christians established churches and began the work of rebuilding the South. It's about to be lost, biblical sort of heritage of all of America, but even here in the South is fading away pretty quickly year by year. We need another great revival, a great awakening. But there is a much more receptive environment here to being a Christian or to preaching the gospel than, say, in New England where my wife grew up, or in the Pacific Northwest. There's just something about the South here which still has enough vestiges of those Confederate Army revivals so that there's still an atmosphere here of receptivity, both among African Americans and whites, and among people of every race, because we have so many internationals now coming to Nashville. But it's interesting, so many of them are eager for the gospel too. So I'm thankful for Tennessee. I love this state, and it does have an awfully lot of believers. Our governor here, our new governor, is a very dedicated Christian man.
Yes. Now, that must have been wonderful when you were growing up to have that kind of surroundings where faith was a part of a lot of people's lives. How about you? Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did. I grew up in that little Elizabethton village.
Right.
And my parents were both school teachers, and they were committed Christians. We went to Sunday school and worshiped every Sunday morning and back to church on Sunday night and back to church on Wednesday night, and had 1 and 2 week revivals at our church during the year. And in some ways, our lives were centered around the church. And my parents were very godly, loving people. My sister and I had a wonderful experience growing up in a Christian home. that's sort of the way it ought to be. Developed in the 1950s, too, before the turmoil of the 1960s. I was a teenager in the 1960s, and it was a totally different world. But for an elementary age child growing up in the 1950s in a mountain town, you know, and there was no racial tension in our town, but East Tennessee, unlike the rest of Tennessee, is so mountainous that there weren't any plantations back in antebellum times. And so the Scotch-Irish residents that came into Northeast Tennessee, they sided with Lincoln and with the Union. And to this day, I don't remember any racial tension in our town.
Well, that's
and
wonderful.
That wasn't true in many places in the South in the 1950s, but it was a wonderful time to grow up and to have that kind of experience.
Sure. I'll say it sounds so idyllic.
Now, Pastor Morgan, you mentioned that you grew up in a Christian home. Was that when the Lord really became real to you, or was it later on?
Well, the answer is yes and yes. I did grow up with a real inclination towards the Lord. My dad bought me a Bible when I was very young. In the public schools, I memorized scripture. We had, this was before the 1963 decision of the Supreme Court to banish the most famous book in the world from American education. So when I was growing up, we had scripture memory in the local schools, and I just really felt secure. I don't remember a time when I wasn't trusting Christ as my Savior. I do remember a time when I found some assurance that I really was, but I just grew up with this understanding that God loves me and that Christ died for me and that He's my Savior and that I can trust Him. I wish that every child grew up knowing that. But I did have a lot of struggles during my teenage years. So I think that I hit adolescence as hard as anybody does.
Yes.
And I got confused and mixed up and very unhappy and depressed and lonely.
We're visiting with Pastor Robert Morgan, sharing about his situation in college before the Lord changed his perspective in life.
Yes, and we'll return to our talk with Pastor Morgan in just a moment. You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you. You can friend us on Facebook, or post a picture on Instagram, or tweet us on Twitter.
Yes. Also, you can email us at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com, or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501. Now, let's return to our talk with Pastor Robert Morgan as he continues sharing about the Lord's impact on his life while in college.
And it was when I was 19 years old, a sophomore in college in South Carolina, that I committed my life away beyond anything that I had understood before, that Jesus wasn't just a reality who wanted to be my Savior, but He really had a plan for every day of my life. Psalm 139:16 says, "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." So my roommate challenged me just to give to the Lord all of my goals and my professional desires and my money, my personality, my problems, my future, to give everything to the Lord, whether I'd be married or not, whether I'd do this or that in life, just to let Christ be Lord over all of that. And that was a tough decision for me. And I took 24 hours before I was ready to do it, even though I knew the moment that He said it, that that's what I needed. And it was on September 2nd of 1971 that I knelt down in a way beyond what I had understood before, yielded my life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is true for a lot of people who grew up in a Christian family and a Christian home, and they grew up with a reality of Christ in their life. But there does come a moment when you are old enough to recognize that there are more implications of this than I realized when I was 5 or 6. And there is a confirmation or a rededication or a renewal or a lordship decision beyond what we've known in the past.
Right.
It comes to a crisis point. And for me, that evening is the most defining single night in my life. In fact, I feel like the Lord turned on a switch of adrenaline which has never been switched off on that particular evening. So to me, that is a wonderful, wonderful memory that I hope I never outlive and never get over.
Yes, and it's such a matter of like night and day, you know, when you're in one stage and not walking that closely with the Lord, whether you're a non-believer or one that hasn't really become born again and really begun that personal relationship with Him, and then when you do. So you had that moment in your own life when you made a new commitment, jumped to a new level of relationship with the Lord. How did you see your life change? How did that manifest itself in your life?
Well, first there was a sense of excitement that I'd never known before. Mm-hmm. I remember that evening, it was sweltering hot in the dormitories. We didn't have air conditioning. The windows were open, and I laid in bed that night. I had a hard time sleeping, but I looked out and saw the stars and the moon, and I was so excited. And I couldn't wait for the next morning to get to the cafeteria and tell somebody what had happened to me. But there was also a change in my habits. And the most important habit that I developed was the habit of meeting with the Lord every day for prayer and Bible study for a half hour or so, whatever amount of time it was. And it took me a while to learn to do this. And then a very wise woman, Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Bell Graham, talked to some of her students. And she talked about using a little notebook. She said, this notebook habit is the most important habit that I know. And she persuaded us to get notebooks. And so this has been 45 years ago. But to this day, every morning I wake up, I get a cup of coffee, I go to an empty bedroom upstairs where I've got a desk, I open my notebook, I write a little bit, not a whole lot, but a little, you know, about my day yesterday or my day coming up. I say, now I'm going to begin reading here. Right now I'm reading through Matthew's gospel, so I was in chapter 10 today. I may jot down insights from that chapter. I've got my prayer list, and I just meet with the Lord every day.
Yes, seeking the Lord our God each and every day. As Psalm 34 verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears.
Praise God. I love that. And that's a great suggestion by Pastor Morgan to journal about our day with the Lord in a notebook. Now, this is one way that our guest, again, that's Pastor Robert Morgan, provides for ways believers can cultivate the blessings of God's presence in his latest book entitled Always Near. It's published by Thomas Nelson, and it's available online and at most book outlets. It's also available in an audio version. Or you can just go to robertjmorgan.com to find out more.
And if you've enjoyed this feature and would like to listen again or hear a feature you've missed, just go to our Facebook page at Connections with Rich and Bobby. You can also contact us by email at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com. That's connect and the number 2, Rich and Bobby, Bobby spelt with an I, @gmail.com.
Right, or you can just go old school and write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, that's 1610, Alameda, California, that's A-L-A-M-E-D-A, Alameda, California, 94501.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word.
Yes, and don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.